The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, welcome once again to the official Corian FC podcast. Life is good. The hours are going to turn this weekend, so we're hitting spring. Easter's on its way, so things are good at the moment. Before we start, a bit of housekeeping as ever. Thank you to our kind sponsors, the Lodge Hotel. Just to let you know, the coffee bar at the Lodge Hotel, a good place to get your morning fix at the coffee bar. Catch up with friends, enjoy a cuppa, a freshly baked scone or a sweet treat. Gluten-free options are available and it's open from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. every day. And the good news, Johnny, is free car parking. Always a plus, isn't it, Johnny? Johnny McNabb, how are you?
Damien, how are you? Grand. Hi, nice coffee, car park, why not? Big thanks to the Lodge Hotels ever. So on the football front, it was a bit of a weird game on Saturday, hard to really summarize it. So, but I'm sure we will get to that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll try and summarise it. We'll do that with our special guest this week because he's a guy that knows the Irish League and knows football very well. And he was actually at the game as the special guest of Corian Football Club on Saturday, and it's none other than Kyle McVeigh. Kyle, first of all, big welcome to the Corian podcast. How are you?
Not too bad, Damon. Always good to get the chat with yourself and Johnny, so... Good scenes.
Yeah, and as we were saying, you were there as a special guest. I think Frankie Moffat was looking after you on Saturday. I hope he did a good job. Johnny was saying about analysing the game. From your experience of football, I mean, give us your take on the game itself.
I would say first half, not much in between two teams. I think Corian cheated it, obviously, with the chances. Murphy getting the goal to go 1-0 up. Second half, the Gannon came out. I thought they deserved their goal. Obviously, Stevie getting sent off as well. I don't know what happened because it's not actually a Stevie Lowe that we all know that. So I think in the end, a draw was probably a fair result, but I think if you look back at the headlights, that the chance that Hegarty had at the end, me, if he wasn't hurt, I think he would have scored. I think the Gannon pushed him up because I think he was hurt. Obviously, no good at the back, so he pushed him up. I think if he was 100% fit, I think he would have scored, and also that would have left on 2-1 in Gannon, so it meant Korean hoping an Anfield beating Harrick, which who knows what would have had in mind. I think overall a draw is probably a fair result, to be honest. So.
Yeah, I think it would have been harsh on Corian if they lost that game given the nature of the game. You mentioned Stevie Lowry and the sending off. I mean, like, we all know Stephen Lowry very, very well. Mm-hmm. And it's often said when a player gets sent off, oh, he's not that kind of a player and blah, blah, blah. But in this particular case, Stephen Lowry is definitely not that kind of a player. Anybody that knows him.
I don't know actually what happened. Like, even I watched the highlights, BBC Sport, it just shows him and Knowles coming together and then all of a sudden two of them fall to the ground. So I don't know. Did James grab his leg and the two of them fell to the ground? I don't honestly know, but as I said, it's not like the Stevie Lowry we all know. I can't remember him getting the yellow card, don't mean a red card, so I don't know if it was just a rush to the head. I don't honestly know. Obviously, the only person I know is himself, but when you look at the reaction of the player, that's said all. I don't think when Raymond gave him the red card, he didn't really a painless decision, if you know what I mean. He walked off just as you do. So maybe, I don't know, it's hard on this save it. And the end of it is the only person who knows him himself. So
you just don't know. I mean, Johnny, maybe Stevie Lurie's turned into the new Paddy McAllister. Maybe we don't know that yet.
He's making up for lost time and he's been out for a while, so he just feels the need to. I've seen it, and we've seen it live, and I think it's handbags, really, to be honest. I think if you're getting pulled down to the ground, there's only one way you're going to go, and that's on top of your opponent. So that's my own view of it. I don't really think Stevie's old. I know it's a very easy argument to make, saying players aren't malicious and stuff, but I just cannot picture Stevie putting the leg in or knee in or whatever it may be. So
it's not like him.
So yeah, big loss, because obviously he's experienced and everyone else. So and obviously we missed him when he was on the pitch. So yeah, I thought Kyle made a good point. I think the penalty goes in at 2-0, the game's over. But that penalty save was a big turning point. And the ball in by Glennie for the equaliser, that is the goal, you know. But it's just right on Mitch's head. He couldn't have put that in it. That's probably the best cross I've seen. That's one of the best crosses I've ever seen at the show. He just knew as soon as he crossed it was on his head. So of course it had to be Big Mitch as well. So
listen, you know, you and I know Big Mitch. We've had him on the podcast. Lovely big fella. You couldn't meet a nicer big fella. And yes, while you don't like to see anybody scoring against Corian, your team, if anybody was, you're pleased to see Big Mitch get on the
cross. You're just pleased to see Big Mitch playing football, never mind anything else. You know, any time I was chatting to Rod at Dungannon games, he was always asking how Big Mitch and stuff was getting on. So, and Stevie O'Donnell had a pre-wedding do up in the social club, and a big shout out to the social club staff as well, because I know they were off their feet on Saturday, and I was chatting to Big Mitch up there and he seemed in good form. And so he's obviously kept his friends still there at the football club, which is good. And it's very easy for people maybe to leave sometimes and not feel welcome when they come back. So, I just love Mitch to just go and get a good run of games. And he's got a bad record of scoring goals at the showgrounds for the other opposition. I was quick to tell him that Saturday. So hopefully that stops and he can score against everybody else.
Talking about, you know, going back and meeting old friends and stuff, and that brings us back to Kyle on Saturday. It's nice when the club invites some of the older players back again, Kyle, and on Saturday past it was your good self. I mean, what kind of a day did you have? Did you meet many old faces?
No, well, it wasn't many. Took me wrong. It's only like I met. We were there at 2 o'clock and went upstairs for the drink. It was me and the wife was there as well. So only one really saw his big needy, that was it. But obviously, I knew some of the bar staff that was there. Wendy and Sandra still there in the leaders committee. So it was nice to see old faces, and like, it was nice to be back again as well. Oh, enjoyed the day.
But I suppose you have been back. I mean, do you notice changes when you go back? For example, I mean, have things changed much since you were there?
Like, even I had me down in the change rooms, but I was upstairs in the hall, even the boardrooms, even the stand, the whole way in is all completely changed when you go into social club. When I was there, the social club was just all open. It was just you go up one set of stairs and you come down, and another set of stairs. So oh, definitely, and I've been back. Like, I'm helping with the 2017, so I've been back just on the pitch alone, and it's good to see the changes. Obviously, there's 3D pitch is a big help. We can be assured that the matches are going ahead now. Rather than here we go, it's real. There's a good chance the match is going to be off, so I had a chance to look at the plans as well. I'm actually excited to see the whole place getting redone up. The plans look well, so like, I don't know how long it'll be until they're set in place, and like I say, it'll look like a great wee green has always been, so
And the thing, Johnny, is it's listening to Kyle and we know Kyle as we do. You know, some players go back as a special guest of Frankie, but Kyle's like a Korean fan, and he, as he said himself there, you know, he has been back and he is back regularly as well. He's like, lives in the area, and he's obviously still a follower of the team, and not all the players are like that that come back.
No, I think it's obviously a good initiative to bring him back, and you're a long time retired, as they say, so I'm sure it's great for the guys that do come back. They meet familiar faces and rekindle and chat about the good times and maybe not so good times and different things. No, I think it's a good initiative by the club, and yeah, obviously I know Boise was there before Christmas, and I know Tussie's done it, and Kyle, and a few boys from my era as well, and then a few from different eras too. So no, it's good, and that's not be worse if they weren't welcome back or didn't feel that they could come back. And it's just a nice, I suppose, a token of appreciation by the club for what the certain guys did for them.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, from your point of view, your connection with the club, I mean, when did you first walk through the gates of the club then to play football for Korean?
I think when I started back, I think it was 2003. I was asked, like, I was playing with East End and big Victor Hunter, God rest his soul, he asked me to come play for the Colts. So it was him and Trevor Hogg, and then I think I played half a season with them, and I was in it with reserves when Platy was there, and then I think the end of the 04 season, I was on the bench a couple of times on the run up to the Irish Cup, and then Big G got a call to go to Lincoln that time, and then once he left, I was more or less his replacement, more or less. Could have said, since that, I was all in then from there. So,
what you were young, Kyle? What age were you then at that stage?
I was 17. I'd been my debut.
That's young.
That's
young. And did you make your, like, at 17, did you make your debut as a central defender?
No, the first game was actually, they always played the League Cup before the start of the season, and we were home to Glentoran on the Tuesday night, and Jerry Flynn got hurt, so Marty came to me on the Monday and asked me would I play left back, so my first game was a left back against Glentoran, so at the showgrounds, and then...
Can you remember who you were marking that night?
Not really, to be honest, no. I don't think it. I was going to say Scott Young, but I don't know if he was still.
I don't know.
Look at the Glentoran team, like, you know, there was Glendennon, Chris Walker, Nixon, Lehman, Darren Armour, Halliday, and Halliday and Morgan up the front. So it's just, I know all them. But yeah.
That's a pretty good sign.
He was on the wing, to be honest, but no, there was. But it was nice to make your debut at home, and then ironically, my last match was against Glentoran away to the Oval as well. So good.
Nice to bookend your career like that.
The same team, that's true. Yeah, so.
But like when you're 17 and when somebody like Marty comes along to you and goes, "Oh, you're playing the night, blah blah." Mm-hmm. Ask Glentoran, and you're 17. You're not long at the club. Do you get nervous? I mean, did you get nervous, or are you one of those guys that doesn't suffer so badly?
I don't think nerves. I was never nervous getting into any match, to be honest. Like, I was only 17, a young boy playing, just enjoying playing football, and no, I never really had any nerves getting into any match, even. We talk about the cup finals. There was no nerves. It was just a young boy that wanted to play football, and I was happy I got to do for the hometown club. So,
what was it like scoring the first goal in the Oran Kearney era? The penalty.
I don't get it wrong. It was actually, I was coming here. It was a chanty. No, it was actually it was Frank was asking me about penalty takers, and like I think I was the penalty taker for about 2.5 these 3 years, and then whatever happened, Leon wasn't meant to take the penalties, and ironically we got a penalty against Ballymena, and Leon at the start of the match said no, that he didn't want to take it, so I just decided just to step up, and think that we scored and we won 1-0. So I can always mind the knee slide that for celebration didn't go down very well, mind. But no, it was a good night and good start to Orange Magic era as well. So
it's crazy, like, because you mentioned, like, Johnny brings up the Orange, but I mean, you had quite a few managers in probably a short space of time, really, there at that sort of time.
Yeah,
obviously, you started with Marty and then Davey Platt.
Marty, and then he left to go to Bangor, and then I think Jody and Eddie actually took it for one game. I think it was a story game.
That's right.
I think we did. And then news broke it. Play was it? I think I'm all the way around, am I? It was Marty, and then I think it was Platt. Sorry. Marty left the bank, and then Davey Platt, he took over.
Yeah.
And when Platt left, I think Eddie and Jody took over for the story. And then the news broke it. Orn and Trevor was coming in, and then they took training on possibly Monday night. And then we played the Ballymena game in on the Tuesday night. So I know there was like all good managers. I would say not a bad word to say against any of them. So I can't really, every one of them, I got on the best of them. I know at the end before I left, according to Goody Linfield, I think me and Orn probably had a wee bit of words, but that's all for all about now. I speak to him, he speaks to me, so it's not like I'm not a person to hold grudges or follow anybody, as you well know. So
I know we're going from one end of your career near the other, and that 2009-10 season with Boise and Pat.
Yeah.
Any guest we have on that played in that team has to speak about it. So, what a mental season! Like, how you?
I was checking up there just about the League Cup final against Glentoran. It was just when you look at the players that was on pitch that day, we should have won the game in 80 minutes, and even though went on in the penalty shootout, but as you said, you talk about Boise, Carsey, Patterson, Ewan O'Kane, you go on, like, how that team alone never won anything. That's the baffling thing, to be honest. It's just, we look at the games we had, the run to the cup final, it's disappointing to be out. We couldn't get over the line, to be honest. When you mentioned the player that was in that in the team, but at the end of the day, it's just we don't score the penalties. That's the hardest thing about it. It's just it comes down to just a penalty shoot. Everyone knows when goes a penalty to Lordy, and unfortunately, just wasn't our day again. So,
and you turned down Linfield at the start of your career. Any particular reason why, or just?
It's just that was in 2008. That was in the lead up to the cup final. Just I had started as a story, wasn't able to drive. So I think it's just everything. Ironically, when I met David Jeffries, just on a run up. The important thing was to say, this has to be right for you to come up here. And he says, I don't want you coming up and then a month, 2 months down the line, just saying it's not going to work. So he more or less made my mind up that if it was it right for you to come now? The right thing is to say no. And as I said, I wasn't working to start it as full time as a story, and then just wasn't driving either. So it just, the time wasn't right to be on. So that's why I turned it down. And then, ironically, he came back in again. So it was hard to say no for the second time. So,
yeah, no, Stephen Larry couldn't say no the second time. And I think Bev ended up going to Crusaders at the second time as well. Just the way football goes.
As I always say in the paper, like that one, that article I done with Sunday Life, if it wasn't because it was Linfield or an Irish team, I probably still would have been at Corian, to be honest. It's just one of those things when the biggest club in Ireland come for you for the second time, it's hard to,
yeah,
not to go, to be honest. So,
and I would guess David Jeffrey's a pretty persuasive character as well, I would think.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I was like, even second time I met him, it's just he spoke highly about what Linfield are about, and until you're up there, you don't actually realise how professional the club is, to be honest. It's just everything they do from on the pitch and off the pitch is just, you're always in the spotlight, to be honest. And he even mentioned that when I was speaking to him. He says that everybody will know why and who you are when you play for Longford. He says that's just the spotlight is always on you. And then, as I said, you don't realise until you get up there how you feel. And I said I have the biggest respect for him, because there's not many managers to match you for the second time, to be honest. And as I said, I've no regrets. Hopefully, if I would have stayed a Korean, yes, I would have got my testimonial, but I've no regrets and leaving there to go to Linfield, to be honest. So
I think, I mean, Johnny, it'd be hard to turn like a Linfield at the time, you know, even now, biggest club in Ireland, I guess, if you like. And it is hard if they come back. You say no once, but you'd be scared to say no a second time because you may have regrets. You think, oh, what might have been? And you can understand kind of the point.
Yeah, I can understand. Especially at that time too. I think that might have been Orange maybe first season. I think Boyce and Carsey had both left for the Glens that year as well. It could be Lyon, it could be the year after. But anyways, all of them had left probably within a year or two of Orange taking over. And it's probably that fear where you don't go the first time, are they ever going to come back in? And you know, and I always listen to what Jamie McGree has to say, because he's been there and done it, and he says you have to have a special mentality to play for Linfield. And Kyle mentioned it, they're always in the spotlight and everyone else. So I think they say you play for Linfield and met the expectation and the challenges every week. This is definitely something to look back in your career to be proud of, because at the end of the day, if they don't win the league, it's a bad season for them. And the levels are just obviously there.
So
yeah, you probably learn a lot even going there, even if it's only for a short time. As a footballer, as a person, you would probably take an awful lot from that as well, wouldn't you?
I don't know, but like, I enjoyed every minute. Like, I was traveling nearly probably 3-4 times a week up and down to Belfast. I would say eventually it took a toll on me, but I wouldn't, when I look back now, I wouldn't have changed it, to be honest. It's just always mind the first training session, walking down the old tall the ones are onto the big pitch, and you do actually realise now people probably laugh at you, but when you're playing against Linfield, you don't realise how big the pitch is. But when you're playing for them, it's totally different, to be honest. It's just the whole atmosphere changes. You have the crowd behind you, and I keep going back to, like, I think we were like We were on a run. I think we won 13, 14 games unbeaten. We played Hunte, the Korean, and we were none all at half time. We got beat off the pitch, and I was coming in the change room thinking, what's going on here? Something where 2 or 3 0 down, or we're playing bad. It was just, but that's, as you said, that's just the expectation. I mean, a Lanfin, they expect you to win, and if you don't win, and as Johnny says, if you don't win the league, it's like gone all the whole world is in it. That's just the expectations at Lanfield, and as I said, I wouldn't change anything, to be honest. I enjoyed every minute. Yes, I'd like to stay longer than I did, to be honest, but I think if, I don't know, because Davey left the new manager came in, I don't, if he would have stayed with it, would have made a difference, I don't honestly know, but as I said, I was up there and I could always say that I played and scored a winning goal, so it's always something to look back on, and as I said, it wouldn't change it for the world, to be honest.
But that's football really in a nutshell, isn't it? It's like sliding doors type moments. You know, you go up there, David Jeffrey, you knew David Jeffrey wanted you once, twice. You went and you signed, and then he was gone, I think, after your first season. Warren Feeney then come in, new manager, new ideas, and all of a sudden your time at Sir Linfield is kind of over, and you're like, those football's like that, isn't it? It's
always mind when he came in and he just, we had a chat and it just, his words was he wanted new blood more or less, and I knew the minute he said that, that was that. There was me, I think there was myself, Michael Gault, Matthew Tipton, Carville, Billy Joe Burns, I think there was 8 or 9 of us all say, the boys have been there longer than me, but when you see the players that left when he joined, it's just they're all boys more or less getting close to 30 or
all great players though.
Oh no, they were, they all like, we talk about Michael Gault, so I mean, I thought he's won, he was captain for Linfield for 5, 6, 7 years. They're all big characters, and let's say within a week of months they were all the way. I think the majority left to go to Port Down, I think that's the time. So, but it's just one of those things. If your face fits, you'll stay. And then
Linfield don't make many mistakes, but Billy Joe Burns has to be one of them.
I agree 100% with you. Yes, when you look back now, when he's at Crusaders, I don't think he's ever played a bad game, to be honest.
I don't think so.
Even when they are losing, he's always the one up and down. So I agree with Johnny, yes. I think he was a mistake that they made, to be honest. So.
And he's still going strong.
Mm-hmm, that's what I mean. He got third year for Crusaders last year, probably even a couple years in a row. So, so
William Joseph Jonathan.
William Joseph, like Davey always says. So
he didn't have much to do with your name, Kyle, did he? He couldn't really enhance it much.
No, not really. But always mind when I always mind first come into the change room, and Carville always, I wouldn't say we brought up about their legend, but he always kissed Michael Carville, said to Davey, that's another one of us. He signed the big Davey, actually thought that was a problem. So he actually said, if I knew that, I said I wouldn't have signed you. He says, so either I've done it or not, but it's just no.
There you go.
As I said, always good banter in the changes with Davey and the rest of the players. So
But see that, but that's, you have to have that, don't you, in a team environment. You have to, I mean, you have to have good people, and you have to have good slagging in there as well.
Yeah. I think all the banter has to be good, because like if you don't have any banter, then putting out the football pitch, you might as well not just play. You need a bit of
fun.
It needs a bit of fun, a bit of banter on and off the pitch, and I think that's what makes a successful team, to be honest. If you can have a bit of banter off the pitch, on the pitch, do the job on the pitch, I think it makes a successful club, to be honest. So.
Yeah, I can see you're thinking there, Johnny. I'm just going to say, like, who would have been the big characters that you would have shared the changing rooms? Even saying your Korean days, who were the big player, who the big characters in there?
Well, the start you'd probably say would be Paggy, Army, Gaggy, and Sturdy, just all the old voices they talk about. So, people always say about the Belfast ones, right? Paggy, Army, and Judy were just in three alone. And Shirley and Gaggy is a local one, so. And all the banner and the changer is always, even the money bus that we always get to the away matches, there was the Baba and Jimmy Calvin, and then you had Shirley and Gaggy in the bus on the way down, and all the crack and all the cars used to play. It's just they're the memories that I'll not forget, to be honest.
Yeah, and I would say that would only be enhanced on the European trips. I think I remember going on one of the European trips, and you mentioned the likes of Paddy and Sean Armstrong and that. Mm-hmm. And I remember being on the European trip with those boys, and it's never a dull moment, let me tell you.
No, them two are just a typical Belfast lad. We all know that they, once from Belfast, always like to hear themselves, and even when the car turns up, even before they get in the car, you can hear them. That's just the way they are. But like, they all need to keep the banter off the pitch, and when they come on the pitch, they knew how to do, they know how to do the business. And obviously, Paggy and Jody and Army, obviously, were legends on the pitch, and they done the job. But off the pitch, they were all gentlemen, and I've not a bad word to say against them. So,
right, I mean, it takes that, Johnny, doesn't it? That mix, and I think it's like what Kyle's saying, that mix, you know, you've got your Belfast guys and your local guys, and I don't know, I mean, I suppose today's team, yeah, you've still got a mix, haven't you? You've got your sort of guys from the city, and then ones from local ones as well, and it's how you get them to amalgamate and to mix together is key to getting a successful team, isn't it?
Yeah, Warren always mentions about having a good changing room and signing the right players, and I think if you've seen the guys around the social club on Sunday or Saturday night, it was, you can tell how close they are and the bond that they have, and sure they've got six busloads come from Derry now, so they're all from there, so. But no, listen, I think whenever the team all goes well, it's easy saying it. The change room's always close. And yeah, to be fair, that's always one thing that I have noticed at Korean, that they seem to have a good change room there, and players seem to get on both on and off the pitch.
You mentioned the boys, and then I suppose later as well, you had like the likes of big Mark McKenzie, and Leon Knight would have been a bit of a character too at this time. You would have been there at the time he was there.
I think I was there about a year and a half with Leon. Just every night you didn't know if he's actually going to turn up or not. And then when he does turn up, there's like one of them boys you see in the Knox corner, just comes in with a whole head of stuff. Do you want to buy this? Do you want to buy that? And then, but again, he left that. On the pitch, he knew where the net was, and well, player, big Mark. I see him last year when I was up in Derry doing a bit of Cheltenham bumped into him, so I know he's not a great lad, and it's good to see him and good to get a chat with him again as well. So
That's the great thing about football. It's just that opportunity just to sort of meet new people and make and retain those friendships. Mm-hmm. Like long after like you played together, even as you say, when you bump into somebody you spent time with in the changing room, those relationships are still there, aren't they?
Oh, 100%. I think that's what makes a good teammate is when you actually bump into each other, you're able to chat about all the matches and all the good times you had. So, no, it was good to another player that I meet. We always have a chat, and the first thing was up was, do you always mind such and such, or mind the game we went away to, blah, blah, blah. It's just, as I said, that's the memories that we long there for you, and it's good to get a chat and meet other players you haven't probably seen about 4 or 5 years or so. That's always good to get a catch up with one. So,
and I thought I'd say just about Marty, you mentioned earlier he gave you your debut, and when we're talking about characters in the change room, and Marty gave you your Irish League debut at 17, but Marty was a big character in his own right as well. Yes, you have the players, but at the head of that, you have somebody like a Marty who himself was a big character, wasn't he, at that time?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I was asked the question for the article in the Sunday Life about all the managers I worked under, who's the best, and I still say Marty Quinn to this day. It's just, you can go on about all the tactics, all the formations, but with Marty, all you wanted to do was roll your sleeves up and just won the game, and that was it. Doesn't matter if you scored the first minute or 90th minute, as long as you won the game, give 100%, and I think that's epitomizes what he done when he played as well. Like we, Frank was talking about when he was at Clifton and Marty Quinn was there, and he said it was just one of those players that would have been three for a shortcut. Doesn't matter how you got the ball, if it was the kick you to get the ball, he would have done it. And I think that's epitomizes him when he comes to manager. He just wants you to give 100%. But when he gave him a football, that was it. So you know, I would say it was a big influence to me. And then even I, when I still spoke to him a couple of years ago when we were up with the wee five-side tournament up in Larne at the time, they were still turning and kicking every ball. I know how easy it must be, 70 or now, so he still hasn't changed his.
It's not likely to change now. I mean, Johnny, no, it's interesting to hear that what Kyle is saying there, like of all, and about you can have all the tactics you like and everything else, and it's just about rolling your sleeves up and going out to win. And listening to Kyle saying that, it's almost like football is always changing. It's almost changed so far now that it's, you know, across the water, and even the Irish League now, the game is like almost unrecognizable in many ways from what it was, and it's all about tactics and playing nice football, and almost that what Kyle is describing when Marty was at charge, it's kind of lost almost, isn't it?
Yes, like keepers now judge how good they are with their feet, never mind their hands, which is a bit daft. But that's just the way football's going, I suppose. And yeah, look, I think times have changed, let's be honest. And that's just, you know, in maybe 10, 15 years' time, we'll be thinking how you were and operate it, for example, is totally different to say whoever would manage Korea. It's just the way football goes and cycles. And Marty's way of managing is absolutely totally different to how Tiernan Lynch would manage Larne or how Baxter's managed the Crews. So, yeah, just managers just have different styles and different way of operating. And listen, there's no bad or wrong way, I suppose. It's whatever they want to do. And that's whether or not the players can sort of do it for them. And and carry out the instructions. So yeah, Marty reminds me of the type of boy that he'd speak to you and just want to run out and run through walls for him. That's probably the way I look at it. Probably never used a tactics board or anything like that, but just wanted to run through a brick wall for him. So sometimes that works too. And that team won an Irish Cup and got in our cup final and played in Europe. So couldn't have done that badly.
I think he would have been the sort of manager that you would need to give your all, because from what I remember hearing at the time, like, Marty wouldn't have been averse to sort of letting you know if you hadn't have done the business for him on the pitch. Is that right, Ken? I mean, he certainly would have called people out, or he would have made the feelings known.
100%. I always mind, even back to when we were away to Clifton, and this is the old change rooms. I mean, it must have been 1 or 2 degrees. Like, I think it was my first or second season, and I put a pair of gloves on to go out for a run, and they stopped me before the door, and he says, "Take him off." And I go, "It's kind." And he says, "Are you center half or not?" He says, so he made me take my gloves off before I left the change room. So that just shows. As you said, epitomizes what Marty Cum was all about. So, and then I think it was a lot goal game away, and I can't really go into every detail, but I think we were 1 or 2-0 down away to Loch Goll. I think Barry Johnson got hurt and he had to go to hospital. Marty came in at half time, and there's always a tray of tea was set at the door, and he just lashed the tea everywhere. Called us all the names under the sun. He went to hospital with Barry Johnson, and I think we came back and won the game 3-2, and he was there full time hugging us. And all the names under the sun. I was just Martin Cannon in a nutshell. As he said, "Don't matter how you won the game," he says, "as long as you won the 3 points, that was the main thing." So
yeah, he always kind of reminds me of like a Fergie type of character.
Oh, he's a player that he didn't want to cross, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I never had any comes and goes with him on a bad level, to be honest. But I'd say in my time, I don't think I've ever, don't get me wrong, I think some of the halftime team talks a couple of times, yes, he's lost the plot, but apart from that, there, I don't think he's. I never came across him, but he's just. He probably is. Identity to Fergie. He's just a born winner. Doesn't matter how you won the game, as I said, he just. He won the 3 points, and that was it. He just wanted to win games, and that's probably why he was one of the top managers, and as I keep saying, he's the best manager I've worked under anyway. So
Slightly before your time, Johnny, was Marty?
No, I can remember Marty. I can remember smoking the old fag and stuff like that. As mascot and ball boy a few times, and funny Girls Cup rugby final last Monday, would that have been, and Michael Halliday was the working for Eventsec, and I said to him, "I still don't forgive you." And he goes, "What for?" And I goes, "Scoring a goal in the Irish Cup final in 2004. And he goes, "You've had plenty of time to get over it." And I was like, "No, I was as mascot that day, and it still hurts 20 years later." So, you remember different things and different times and stuff like that. So, no, and I know anytime Murray comes back, he's always loved and appreciated and stuff like that. No, yeah, it's I don't remember an awful lot, but I do. I can still remember he was under that era and different things. No, definitely.
You forget how young Johnny is, Kyle. You know.
No.
But not like. But you obviously Marty, and then we'll go back to where you were at that time at Linfield, and then I can't remember, where did you go after Linfield? Sorry, what?
Bah, you know.
I left. That's that. Tell us how did that come about?
I think it was Boyce was paying for Ballymena at that time, and when he heard that I was let go of Linfield, he asked, "What are you planning to do?" And I says, "I honestly don't know." And he says, "I'll speak to the fight," which was Glenn first in that time. And then he says, he invited me up to the done pre season up at Wakehurst playing fields, and I went up. It was the first time I've ever done a fitness test as a pre-season, and never again. It was the worst, I'd say probably the worst pre-season I've ever done, to be honest. It's just, you know, obviously everyone knows pre-season there's a bit of running, but when you go to a club for your first time up, and then it was just, was up for about a week, and then they played a friendly match up at, I think it was away to the Welders, and then I think played a couple of games, and after that there, just they asked me to sign, and they signed, and again, I've no regrets for going to Ballymena. Like, it's a good club. I still speak and get on with the supporters that meet around, and the good times at Ballymena.
Given the fact that you were Korean and all our connotations, did you have any reservations about joining Ballymena? I mean, given that a lot of your friends would have been Korean fans, you played for Korean, and given the rivalry between the two clubs?
No, not really. I'm just a player just wants to play football, to be honest. If it was Korean, Linfield or Ballymena, I just wanted to stay and play in the Irish League, and thankfully, Ballymena gave me that chance, and as I said, I was there for, I think it was three and a half years, and enjoyed every minute of it. I played under Glenn for 2 years, and then when he left, then Big Davey came in, and no, I enjoyed every minute. Obviously, I think I got hurt. I think I broke my ankle in the Korean game, which was a bit of a, just got it, especially against the Korean. I think we were 1-0 down, I think, that game. Just the ball broke between me, Shane McGinty, and we just went in for the title. It's just the way he landed, and that was it. So, but no, as I said, I've joined me, Timmy Ballymena, the fans were good. The players, the club, as I said, not a bad word to say about the club or the manager, the players. So.
It's just football, Johnny, isn't it? I mean, like this guy said, there was him, Boycey, Rory Hamill. There's been quite a few recently in the latter years, you know. So it's like, as a footballer, yes, you have some sort of allegiance, but once you leave a club, you know, you have to look after your own career, don't you?
Geographically, if you want to stay in the Irish League and you leave Korean, if you're from this area, Ballymena is obviously the next club, obviously down the road. So, yeah, look, I think it was weird when Boycey done it. I still haven't forgiven him. I was just to the hurt and pain. So, no, it's just weird seeing fellows who obviously used to support and want to do well playing against, you know, for your, playing against your team for your rivals. It makes it even weirder. And you want them to do well, but just not in 90 minutes of football against the team you support. So, just a side question. Did you think, because you were a local player, that local players at Korean get it worse? Maybe criticism, maybe, or worse, more pressure from fans?
I don't think I was. I can't ever mind getting any slagging, to be honest. Don't get me wrong. I've been a Korean supporters, but I don't think I was ever fighting with it or ever threatened in any way. I think it was a bit a friendly banter, to be honest. Like, there was no real, oh no, I blocked him or not speak to him. It's just, I think it's just a friendly banter, and I think that's the way it should be, that we want to play football. Yes, when you're from Korean and you're you join your rivals, it's not. So the best thing you probably should have done, but at the end of the day, you just want to play football and they take a chance on you. As I said, I was never really threatened or quite nice when I played, even when I was at Linfield against Korean. Always mind they sang songs about if you come from Ballysally, you're on the DLA, and I was from Ballysally, you know, we didn't play for Linfield, so it's just a bit of running, man. That's what it should be, to be honest. So,
You just have to develop a thick skin, like, really, don't you? Like, as you say, it's just part of the whole banter that goes with it. You don't take it too seriously. You just got to go with it, haven't you?
That's just nice. Because I think if you were to take it badly, those things, you might as well stop playing football now, because if you kind of take a bit of slag, and then you should really be playing, to be honest. So.
You wouldn't last.
You wouldn't last
long. Mm-hmm. But you're still playing now, even, like, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, still with Bruce Mills. So me and, I think, if you know, Kerry McHenry's oldest young boy,
Christopher,
we took over in November time. So I know plans are taking over. He just asked me, he says, if I decided to take it on, would you help me? And I just says, I'll do it to the end of the season. And no, I'm still playing the way. So this says, age is just a number, obviously. I got hurt there and missed the last match, but it's just every Saturday morning you get up and you get that feeling buzz about just knowing you're going to play a match. It's just done it for 20 odd years, so.
Mm-hmm.
I think now with the young boy, he's starting now, so I think Tommy Mill, he should be coming out now on a Saturday morning, so I haven't fully made my mind up, but I have to wait, see what time his matches are at before I decide what I'm going to do next season. So.
And what age is the young boy?
He's 6, so he's, like, it says I'm taking his age group 2017 down at the Sugaring, so I think the plan is after Easter to get them out down to score to play away in the games, and then hopefully in the summertime they'll be full time down in score. So I think it's either 9 or half 9 that they start it, so I hold back and see how he gets on before I decide in my future, because he's hopefully the next. He's a future, so hopefully now I can pass my experience on to him. And
yeah, is coaching something that you would think about then?
I've always said I would like to get into coaching, like, if I'm helping them and then I'm helping Bush Mills as well. But I've always I said I wouldn't start at a lower age group, to be honest, because I didn't think I'd have the patience at a lower age group. But no, it's actually, I'm actually enjoying the 2017s. Obviously, when you're young boys there, it's could be slightly different, but no, in my head, I've always said, lady, give me management. And this is a start, so I think I'm either September, October time, I'm going to do my starting my C license as well. So, no, I'm looking forward to it. And the news.
Well, that said, I mean, it comes to an end, the plan eventually, but if you want to stay in the game, I guess that's a good a way as any, is coaching and then maybe eventually managing, and then you can adopt all the things that you learned from Marty and Davey Platt and Orne and DJ. And who else? Niall Curry and
No, he could go on and on. So
he could go on.
So I don't know. I want to pass my experience on to the young boy, and hopefully he listens, and I'll be more than happy if he has the career that I have. So we'll just have to, I'll do all I can to help him, and it's up to him to listen, and hopefully he can bring it onto the pitch. And you never know, we might see another new five times for Corey, and we never know, so we'll have to wait, we'll have to wait and see.
What are you thinking, Johnny? I can see you're smiling there.
No, just be, plenty of generations that have come down, and obviously different clubs have played. So, I must get down and watch Big Smiles High on the touchline and see what you're like, Kyle, and see the tactics board and how finger wagging. And
I just think if Kyle's young boy's as good a player as his mum will be all right.
Just
throw that one in there, Kyle, or else.
I forgot it's always going to be. Who's going to listen to him in signings? Me or his ma? So,
that's a good question. Like, who would he listen to? You or Cherie? Who's he going to listen to best?
I honestly don't know.
No.
Well, you need to listen to me because I'm going to be the manager.
Well, there you go.
He always has to listen to the manager before he listens to the parents. So,
if he's got any sense, he'll know what side his brain's buttered on, that young fella. Before we wrap it up, you spent a long time in the football career and you played as a centre back. Just wondering who your toughest opponents were, because you probably played over a period when there were some really good players. I'm just thinking, who did you find your toughest opponent?
I'd have to say Glenn Ferguson, to be honest. He's just one of those. Him and Tommy, I think, only played against Skinner a couple of times, but it's just the two of them are just identity, to be honest. Obviously, I picked Spike up before Skinner's. Just, you knew when you're playing against him, it was going to be a battle. 9 out of 10, he probably won the more battles than what I won, but definitely when you're the legend that he was, the amount of goals, you can see why he was a top player. It's just, he was hard working, just strong as a bull. Just, you had in your head, I'm going to get a miss time, and he just rolls you, or just, it's just that I put him down as one of the toughest people.
Yeah, I mean, Spike was just, he was something different. He had it all, didn't he? He was just physical, but he could score goals as well.
Oh, it was just even when he played for the Story, he was just the same type of player that he played. Well, Lampard is just hard as nails, and every striker knows you don't lose, or everyone knows where the back of the net is, and he never lost it. So, it puts Spike down as the hardest, to be honest, 100%. So,
he was right up there. What about just bring it to its natural conclusion? You were there Saturday at the match, Corrine.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bit of an indifferent season. Looking just towards the future and all the plans and going full time probably from next season, how do you see the Corrine's future in the Irish League?
Good question, to be honest. I think they'll do well, to be honest. I think they had to go full time, in my opinion. When you look at Lauren, Linfield, Lintorn, and Gutierrez, they had to do something. So, just all the players you bring in, to be honest, is when we see, at the players that was there on Saturday, the club definitely needs four, five new players in. But I think, no, it's like, when you look at now, they're still competing on a part-time basis, so I don't see why when they go full-time they can't be up there. But when you look at, go back to Lauren, the landfill is, it's going to be hard, because you know yourself, when the top player or when the top teams are after you, the likes of Lauren and landfill, you're going to, there's a space you're going to pick again before you come down the Korean, to be honest. But no, I think they'll do well. I think so. They're definitely top four at least, anyway. Will they challenge for the league? Probably 4 or 5 years down the line, yes. But I think you just need to get into this full-time mode and start building, and hopefully they can push on from it. So, like, that's going to be hard, because as I keep saying, the players that Lauren and Lanford are going to be after, Korean's going to be after as well. So, I think for a player to come down to Korean and not stay closer to Lauren and Lanford, it's going to be hard for them. But no, it's good for the future of the club, and hopefully, I hope it works out as well, and it's exciting times ahead for them, and hopefully they can push on. And because, as I said, they had to do something when you look about Lauren and Linfield are doing at the minute. They're miles ahead of the rest, in my opinion, when you look at the league table compared to what Corey England tournament receivers are at. So we're going to see how they go next
Yeah,
season.
I mean, Johnny, very interesting what Kyle's saying there, and I wouldn't disagree with any of it in terms of where the clubs are at, etc. And about, and I think what or Kyle's saying is like recruitment is going to be key for Korean, you know, going forward. Obviously, they're hopefully going to adopt a full-time model for next year, but recruitment is going to be key, is what Kyle was alluding to. And that's going to be the challenge, I think, for the for Korean, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and it always is, I suppose. Especially when you've all their big fishes and sort of in the same pond as you. So, yeah, it's going to be massive, and hopefully, if we do implement a full time model, and we have a wee bit more money in the budget, that we can maybe go into a different market. And I think Lauren have done really well with bringing in the guys from Scotland and things like that. So, yeah, just time will tell. And I said, I was actually on another podcast there on Monday, and I was saying that the next 3 4 months, I think, at Korean's just going to look totally different, and there's going to be a lot of changes and stuff done. So, yeah, so quite an intriguing time, I think, for Korean. And if we're doing this podcast this time next year, it'd be interesting to see what changes and what team and stuff has been carried
You'll be full-time media officer, but that's
out. I would very much doubt that, Damien, but it'd be nice, but I would very much doubt that.
I mean, just finally, Kyle, we're talking about full-time in the Korean. Would you like to be playing now and to have a chance of playing full-time for Korean, for example?
No, 100%. I would talk, like, I keep saying it all year at work. I wish I was 15, 20 years younger now, to be honest. When you see, like, I wouldn't change any of the career I had mine, but when you see the pitches that I played on at the very start compared to the pitches now, even the way they do when you go to different clubs, the way they do stuff, as I said, like, we're talking about when I was injured, at the time when I was injured, they hardly had a gym. There were no real rehab compared to what it was now. Like, I'm sure when you see all the stuff that the players are getting before games and after games, it was totally different 15, 20 years ago. So, yeah, I wish I was 16, 17, 18 now, to be honest,
What could have been?
because I would do my best to get a full-time contract. So,
Aye, that's just the way life is. I think you boys would have been coming back from games in the bus, probably drinking beer back in the day.
Oh, drinking beer, everything. Like, we go on about it We actually still, when talking about Neely and them other players, I always going to be the pre-match meal at the lodge. My pre-match meal was a sausage roll at the Baker and Harvest Hall. I had that night up on the bus. That's just, that's
are.
Just, like, I never, for about 5 or 6 years or so, I always done, and it never changed. So, but I'm sure if one of them players kind of show ends with a sausage roll, and I say Oran would kind of straight back out again to him and going home. So that's just how
things have changed.
Things have changed, to be honest. So.
Listen, it's the way it is. We all had our own time. Like, you had a great career in the time you were in it. And as you said, you've got no regrets. You had a great time. You played for a lot of really good clubs, good managers. I don't think you could ask for anything more, could you? Really?
No, no, as I said, I enjoyed every minute of it. And we're speaking now, as I said, I wish I was starting back up again now, to be honest, because just I enjoyed every minute of what I had. And hopefully, my young boy can have the same career I had. And obviously, hopefully he can benefit from the future of what Corey and other clubs are doing, and
brilliant.
New time will tell, as you said. So
we'll keep an eye on that one. Anyway, Johnny, I mean, it's been a pleasure having Kyle on, hasn't it? I mean, you know, he talks like about his career, and like for a young lad from Korea, he had a great career, didn't he?
He did. You don't obviously play the Irish League for so long if you don't have a bit of ability about you. So no, it was great to get Kyle on and get a different, you know, learn about different things in terms of moving to Limfield and Ballymena and different things like that. So no, big thanks for Kyle for coming on.
Excuse me, bit of a cold, guys. Kyle, absolute delight having you on. We'll see you probably around the showgrounds before the end of the season, will you? You'll be down at one or two games at the.
Yes, I'm doing my best. He says I've no matches there, so hopefully an odd Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
I think they've 3 home games or 2 home games left. I can't mind the money's left. Many home
Johnny
games.
Johnny probably know that better than me. Johnny?
Sorry, what was that? Sorry.
How many home games have Corian got?
We should have 3 in the split.
Yeah.
And I was working out the order. Now, people are going to say this is a gospel, but if it's the same order as last year, it will be at home to Cliftonville first go, then at home to Glentoran, and then away to Limfield. That will be the Tuesday. I think there's a game penciled in for Tuesday night. I think it's that one.
Mm-hmm.
Home to Crusaders and then away to Larne in the last game of the season.
If pretty cool.
That was the same formula as they used last year. So whether or not that, you know, they could change it again, but every 3 at home.
Do my best to get down to the home game. So
some great games to look forward to there, isn't there?
As I said, it's all in the Frankie, but it's a pity to Larne or Linfield games. They weren't at home, to be honest, because
yeah,
going for a league and
you would have got the crowd.
You got the crowd down, the atmosphere would be good, especially if one of them was to win the league at Korean. So it'd be good to see how the team perform. Mostly everything's relying on the playoff for Europe, but I think everyone knows what Warren's like. He'd want the players to perform and make sure that they're getting them games on a winning habit rather than a losing habit. So no, it'll be interesting to see how you come, but no, hopefully you get down to then see a couple of games. So
good. Well, we will look forward to seeing you. I have a feeling the way, like, 5 on beating Korean, maybe they're one of the sort of form teams going into the latter half of the season and going into those playoff games, and maybe for the first time in a long time they're going into playoff games potentially in good form. I mean, in recent years they've tended to sort of fall into the playoff games and just not really do themselves justice, and this year might be different, Johnny. Am I just clutching at straws here?
No, I actually, again, I made this comment on the podcast through the week there that going of nearly the last few years started the season well, got to a cup final, lost the cup final, and then just went down. So hopefully this year we've sort of went the other way where we're like an airplane, just, you know, and go up. So, but no, listen, if we can somehow get Europe after this season that we've had, be some achievement. So, listen, we just need to give ourselves the best shot of going into them playoff games to give us a chance.
You never know. Football's a strange game, as we all know. We've all been involved in it long enough to know that you never know. Here, Kyle, I'll let you go. You've very generously given up a good bit of your time there today. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Happy Easter to you and the family. Johnny, happy Easter to you as well. And a happy Easter to all our podcast listeners. It'll be strange. We've no game over Easter this year, which is a very peculiar event. So get out and about and enjoy whatever the North Coast has to offer on Easter, and we will reconvene next week. Until then, as ever, come on the Bandsingers.